Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The tragedy in the Middle East following the tragedy in Europe. Both stories are spilling out with undetermined ends. However, immediately, there are rallies, protests, incidents across the world. But in the United States, there seems to be attention especially to college and university campuses. And I welcome Bill Whalen, who is a research fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University's Palo Alto campus, as well as the host of two podcasts I recommend, Policy and Politics and the Goodfellas, which is a TV show, a video cast, and a podcast, his conversation with his colleagues. We turn now to his conversation with security elements across California, because while there have not been, to my reading right now, violence, there has been a lot of anger, upset, frustration, and confusion on various campuses. Bill, a very good evening to you. Palo Alto, for the moment, according to the news reporting I'm looking, is not violent in any fashion, never even close to that, but there has been unhappiness throughout the week. Is it your sense that things have passed calmly today? Because this was to be a concern around the world because of bad actors calling for trouble. Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. There's tension in Palo Alto, as there is in other pockets of America, and it's tension in this regard. We have, for example, some Jewish community centers, Hillel centers around Palo Alto. They have extra police right now. Here on the Stanford campus where I'm speaking right now, the law school is doing Zoom classes today. Somebody threatened the law school, and so they decided better not to bring the kids in. And so this is a sort of an ample time to issue a lot of threats and scare people that way. That said, you know, we're kind of in the quiet before the storm phase, and that is we do this interview, you know, the complete fighting in the Middle East is not unfolded yet. Israel is not rolled into Gaza. And there's a question of pushing back. Two things stand out to me here. Number one, Stanford, like other elite universities, has seen a lot of protests. There's a lot of discomfort, some very bad stories about some classes being taught and so forth. It's a time for leadership. And I find it just very dismaying across the country that you don't see university presidents calling meetings of students, standing up. I'm not saying with the bullhorn, but just kind of calling for calm and calling for people to work together. Instead, universities send out long-winded emails and don't really kind of get to the heart of the matter. I think for elected officials, it's also time to step up. For example, if I'm Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, John, I'm looking around California than any and all targets, places where Jewish people gather, synagogues, community centers, and so forth. And boy, I would just police those to the teeth just to send the message that we are prepared and we're ready. So don't even think about striking us.
California politics. The governor of California made a surprise decision because we were looking at California politicians to name a lobbyist, the leader of Emily's List, LaFonza Butler, to fill out the term of the recently deceased Nancy Dianne Feinstein. But what we have now is Bill happily in his California on My Mind column taking us to history to say what can go wrong and why when a member of the Democratic Party is chosen to fill out a term and then makes a decision to run for the seat that had been understood as temporary. We go to 1964. The man's name is Pierre Salinger. Who was he, Bill, and what happened?
Pierre Salinger, John, is probably more famously known as John Kennedy's White House press secretary. If you really are deep into Kennedy politics, I think Pierre was the unlucky Pierre who had to go out and buy as many Cuban cigars as humanly possible for John Kennedy before he began the embargo on Cuban products, including Kennedy's favorite smokes. In 1964, Pierre Salinger was named an interim senator in California, and he ran in the fall of 1964 to be a full-term senator, and he lost, and it was kind of staggering. hearing, John. He was the only Democratic incumbent senator to lose in that election. You were around in 1964, bad year for Republicans, the Goldwater, the anti-Goldwater landslide. But he managed to lose to a guy named George Murphy, who was an actor, a song and dance guy. This is 2 years before Ronald Reagan came along, another actor who proved pretty adept at politics. So Salinger did not succeed. And then there's a more recent example of an interim California senator who did not fare well. That was John Seymour. He was appointed to the Senate by Pete Wilson when Wilson became governor in 1991. Wilson was an incumbent senator, so he handed over the seat to Seymour. In 1992, Seymour runs and gets trounced. It's a bad year for Republicans in California. And John loses to Dianne Feinstein to complete the loop here. So history points out that interim senators don't do too well. But in Butler's case, things are a little different because she would be looking at running in a very crowded Democratic primary. So whereas if she got to November, she'd have a very good shot at winning. The question is, would she get in March, John? And if she got in the March primary, how would she do?
Yes, Bill, I've been reading about LaFonza Butler. She's extremely sophisticated and successful in the Democratic Party. She would be anybody's choice to run for a Senate seat, even in a state that isn't as one-sided as California. So the governor's promise that he wouldn't interfere, he took that off, right? Ms. Butler is not held to any promise that the governor's made.
Yeah, if you are Barbara Lee, the congresswoman from Oakland who was running in that Senate primary, you're furious because Newsom had two conditions here. One, he was going to pick a black woman. That's what LaFonza Butler is. But secondly, he said he was not going to mess with the order of the primary, and that sent the message that he was going to pick somebody who had no intentions on running. So fast forward to him choosing Butler, and as people quickly say, if she wants to run, she can. And so if you are Lee, you're furious. Now the question is, would the Butler do it? He was a very bad pun here. She has not a lot of time to play with here because March is fast approaching. But because of the Emily's List connection, John, and because she's also tied into Kamala Harris, and also let's assume she's tied into Governor Newsom since he gave her the job, she could probably raise $10 million pretty quick, and that would make her a player in the race. But, you know, she's running against members. One is Barbara Lee. The second one is Katie Porter, who's in Southern California. And the third, and he has the most money right now, about $30 million, because he's tight with Nancy Pelosi, and that's Adam Schiff. So I think what's interesting here, John, is if Butler were to run, you would probably see one of those Democrats drop out. And I'd probably say Katie Porter, because I think Lee is probably so angry she'll stay in it to the end. And Schiff, who leads the most polls and has the most money, he's not going to give up. So, but again, it'd just be fascinating to see if she jumps into the thing and actually does it.
Bill, at the same time, what's the governor's stake in this? We have about a minute. Is he at risk, or is this something where he's hands off and nothing attaches to him?
He's not at risk, John. He's not at risk because at the end of the day, California will have a Democratic senator come 2025. And Newsom gets the favorite footnote that he loves in everything he does. He gets to make a historic first. She is the first black lesbian in the United States Senate. So he got that the first paragraph, and so he's happy with that.
Is there any indication from Ms. Butler or her supporters that she's reconsidering? Because you say December 8th is the decision date, right, to register for the primary.
To register for the primary, job, but also to get on the ballot in the special election. There are two elections, actually. One is to serve out the remainder of Feinstein's term after November until next January, and then the second is to go for the full 6 years. So the question is, will she get on at least one of those ballots to continue through January or go for both? And again, the clock is ticking. December the 8th is fast approaching. So, you know, every day she has to, you know, think about doing this. And, you know, given what's going on in Washington right now and going around the world, you know, it's a very short window for her.
Are there any newspapers that have called for Ms. Butler to consider this?
No, none that I've seen right now, John. You know, the dirty little secret about all this was a huge news when I wrote this a week ago, and then events around the world have kind of blown that away. So we're not talking about LaFonza Butler. We're not talking about Gavin Newsom's presidential aspirations. We're not talking much about Joe Biden's presidential situation as well. We kind of be focused on one thing right now. But at some point, we will get back to, you know, business as usual, reporting as usual, and we'll return to LaFonza Butler.
Bill Whelan for the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.